Well, good morning, ladies. I'm so glad to see a full house today. I just want to take the time and welcome you all for being with us to fellowship and just to rejoice in the fact that moms and daughters and just what God has given us and placed before us. I'm going to take this time to pray. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here this morning to celebrate motherhood. We thank you, God, for the gift of friendship and the gift of love that we have, and your love that endures forever, your truth and your strength that gives us power to accomplish what no one else can accomplish. And celebrate. We thank you for our guest speaker and her daughter. We just thank you, God, for all that you have provided. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Okay. Again, we do want to thank all those that traveled from afar, and I want to do something different that we haven't done in the past. If you're a member of this church and you invited somebody, I would like you to, we're going to start by Rose, introduce your family to us, so that way we get so busy we don't get to see who was aunt and who was grandma, and so we're going to start with Darlene.
Thank you. We all get to take turns holding.
And then we have Amber and
thank you and welcome you all. And again, I do want to give special thanks to those who have helped me. Dana, for having our guest speaker, Andrea Schwartz, and her daughter, Dorothy. Thank you very much. And Thelma Velos, who helped with decorations, and Beer. And hopefully I didn't leave anybody out. Thank you all. Okay. We're going to sing now. We can open our hymnal. Oh, yes. Oh, I'm Mary Tomlinson. And my daughter Candace. Thank you. All right, let's open to page 354. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Thank you.
come up. We're going to have a couple of the girls be reading some verses. So,
faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Proverbs 27:6.
We're going to have Candace come up, and she's going to read actually one of my favorite poems. And like I said, I think it's a poem, right? But it reminds me of my mom, what my mom was to me.
Hello. All right. The Warrior. This morning my thoughts traveled along to a place in my life where days have long since gone, beholding an image of what I used to be. As visions were stirred and God spoke to me, He showed me a warrior, a soldier in place, positioned by heaven, yet I saw not the face. I watched as the warrior fought enemies that came from the darkness with destruction for me. I saw as the warrior would dry away tears, as all of heaven's angels hovered so near. I saw many wounds on the warrior's face, yet weapons of warfare were firmly in place. I felt my eyes weeping, my eyes held so much, as God let me feel the warrior's prayer touch. I thought, how familiar, the words that were prayed. The prayers were like lightning that never would fade. I said to God, please, the warrior's name? He gave no reply. He chose to refrain. I asked, Lord, who is broken that they need such prayer? He showed me an image of myself standing there, bound by confusion, lost and alone. I felt prayers of the warrior carry me home. I asked, please, show me, Lord, this warrior so true. I watched and I wept, for Mother, the warrior was you. By Larry Clark.
Okay. My mom was a prayer warrior and taught me to pray, so I'm very thankful for that. I'd like to see Maddie to find her. Okay. Maddie's going to come up and share with us.
Well, I had this quote, but we kind of misplaced it. But I kind of know it, like, it's something my mom tells me every single day, and basically, that I have to have, like, a good attitude about everything, because it makes everything so much better, and because I have a bad attitude about stuff, like, all the time. So she's always like, you know, if you have a good attitude, it'll make it better, and it's so true. So, yeah, thank you, Mom.
That was confession time for Maddie. Okay. I'd like to. My son actually had this little poem called "My Best Friend." It was written by somebody in his school, Crystal Cobar. I can't say her last name, but it says, "I have a guardian angel who would never leave my side. I can trust her with anything, and without her, I couldn't survive. You might be jealous, but you don't have to be, because see, you have one just like me. All you have to do is go up to her and say, Mom, I love you, and instantly you have one too." All right. Patricia has a poem for us today.
Hello. I wanted to write one, but alas, I took on too much for this week, and so that didn't happen. But I found a nice one on the internet, so I'm going to read it to you. It's titled, "I'm Not Worthy." I'm not worthy of a Savior who gave this life to me, or of a precious mother who rocked me on her knee. I'm not worthy of the pain He felt upon the tree, or the agony my mother felt when she gave this life to me. I'm not worthy of the love they both have given me. Her love, it gives me courage. His love has set me free. I know I fail them both at times by things I say and do, but even when I fail the test, their love always stands true.
Thank you. I'd like to ask Dorothy to come up. She's going to sing a song for us. Wounds of a Friend. Thank you. What we're going to do is we have a caterer, and we're going to go, I'm going to bless the food, and then we'll go back to the back and we'll get to eat. I do want to thank Deborah Mills, who did the little favors that are going to be by your place, your, where you're going to sit, and you're welcome to take those home, and she did a wonderful job. She's very gifted. Thank you very much. Okay, let's bow our heads and I'll bless her. Lord God in heaven, once again, we thank you for the privilege that you have provided, all that we have, and we give you the glory for that, Lord. We ask for your blessings, that this food would be nourishment to our bodies, that the message that is brought today, Lord, would be nourishment to our souls, that we would be encouraged, and we would be just not losing sight of our purpose to worship you and to love you. We give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay. I think we should have our guests go first. Should we go by our eldest ladies first? The grandmothers, great-grandmothers, if we have those too, I guess. Go first, and then we'll go from there. Ladies, thank you. I'd like to have Dana come up right now, and she's going to introduce our guest speaker. Or oh, did everybody have a wonderful lunch? Yeah, everybody's full and feeling very good, and just thankful that everybody's here, all you wonderful mothers and daughters. And I just wanted to introduce our guest
speaker, and we're pleased to have Andrea Schwartz, and she is very active in the homeschool community, and she's written a book called Lessons Learned from Years of Homeschooling, and I've had the pleasure of knowing her for about 2.5 years now, I think, yeah. She used to be our director of our homeschool choir that we're in. So anyways, Andrea, please come on up.
Because of the bifocals, it's hard to see everybody and the words at the same time. So I'm going to opt to see the words and figure that I can see the smiles, that they're going to be smiles. First of all, I want to say Happy Mother's Day to all the moms here present and all the daughters who make it possible for us to have the title of mom, because without you and your brothers and sisters, it would be hard for us to be moms. And I want to thank the ladies at Bethel Baptist for inviting me to come. When Dana called a couple of weeks ago and said this is short notice, I said, I never have a hard time talking, so I think I can do this for you. And she said, you get a chance to select the theme, and I selected the theme of friendship. I've often commented that it isn't easy being my friend. You see, I tend to talk a lot. I have decided opinions on many things, and I'm not unwilling to share them. I'm also a very focused individual and driven, making it very difficult for those close to me to not get run over. From my point of view, all my friends are courageous. But I think all friendships require courage. Courage to open yourself up to similarly imperfect people and thereby expose your messy problems, while at the same time accepting their opening themselves up to you. The courage involved asserts, I don't really know how this is going to turn out, but I'm willing to give it a shot. Without this commitment, the command to bear one another's burdens ends up being more like sentimental foolishness, like the grocery store clerks, have a nice day, than what the Bible commands us to do. The first major model for courageous friendship in my life came from my dad, who, after my mother suffered a series of strokes that left her bedridden and unable to care for herself and unable to speak, made the courageous decision not to put her into a permanent care facility. He refused to relinquish to paid attendance in a nursing home his role as her lifelong partner and friend. My dad, who currently is 96 years old, is a general practitioner physician, the kind that made house calls, and he would return every evening from seeing his patients and sit beside her bed, keeping her company throughout the night, talking and reading to her. I often woke up in the morning to find him by her bedside, having slept in the chair all night. This went on for a number of years until she passed away in September of 1969, when I was almost 16 years old and beginning my junior year of high school. 7 years after her death, he remarried, this time to a widow 15 years his junior, and after 11 years of this marriage was once again taking care of a wife who had suffered a debilitating stroke. My dad, despite all his eccentricities and flaws, of which he has many, showed me that being a friend meant investing yourself in another, despite the cost of personal comfort and inconvenience. However, it wasn't until I became a Christian myself that the definition of true friendship was revealed to me in the person and work of Jesus Christ. As the scripture tells us, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. It was only after coming to a saving faith and understanding the cost of my salvation that I was able to assume the viewpoint of being bold in friendship, reaching out before I was asked, truly endeavoring to show someone the love of Christ before they initiated contact with me. The circumstances that led up to my being at the Ronald McDonald House at Stanford Children's Hospital in Palo Alto that December afternoon in 1995 had to do with a dear friend of mine who had spent months away from her family and home at the Ronald McDonald House in Fresno as a result of giving birth to her fifth child 4 months prematurely while on vacation at Yosemite. Our regular Monday morning phone calls would give her the chance to share her burdens of the previous week, the loneliness of being without her husband and four other children, her long hours of attending to her struggling child, and the heartache she had for the other children in the neonatal intensive care unit, who, unlike her daughter, didn't have anyone visiting them during the week. Their main comfort and companionship during the day were TV sets with soap operas and game shows sounding over their heads. It was in honor of the invaluable assistance that the Ronald McDonald House had given my friend Kay that I scheduled a Christmas performance at Stanford's Ronald McDonald House featuring the homeschool choir of which my children were a part. As I waited to the side as the choir sang, I spotted a woman seated next to a young boy who, by his mask, lack of eyebrows, and a shark's cap covering his bald head, was obviously a cancer patient. She sat gazing at the children as they sang a medley of Christmas hymns, unashamedly crying with tears rolling down her face. Now, not being one who regularly hears God audibly, I clearly understood, in no uncertain terms, that the Lord wanted me to find this woman after the performance was over and talk with her. What would I say? What clever opening line could I give that wouldn't make me seem stupid and forward? The choir continued to sing, and when they were done, Ronald McDonald himself came out announcing to all present that Santa and his reindeer were on their way into the complex. Suddenly, there were people and bodies moving everywhere, scrambling to get a good spot. I looked around for the woman but couldn't locate her. So I breathed a sigh of relief, feeling that the circumstances had let me off the hook. "No, no," said my God. "I want you to talk to her." I darted in and out of people, practically pushing youngsters out of the way, finally spotting her on the other side of the complex. I moved my way through the crowd, keeping an eye on where she was standing, only to arrive where I had seen her and to discover she was gone. "I tried," I said to myself and to God. "I really tried." Then as I turned around, upset that I hadn't accomplished my mission, there she was, standing a few paces behind me. Knowing that I was now without excuse, went up to her and said, "Hello, God wants me to talk to you." Instead of the weird reaction or some standoffish look that I was anticipating, I got a smile and we began to talk. Our friendship began that day because I was obedient, however reluctantly, to God's call. We talked some, and then she became a bit concerned that she didn't know where her 8-year-old son had gone. Just at that point, my 11-year-old daughter was walking up next to that masked shark's fan. I couldn't help but smile. Turns out they had made fast friends because she had spotted him while she was singing and met up with him together next to Santa. Michael was coming back to introduce her to his mom. Coincidence, some would say. I call it providence. The following Sunday, my husband and three children made our way to where they were staying because my 17-year-old son was a hockey player, and I thought Michael, the Sharks fan, would get a thrill out of meeting him. Thus began what has continued to be among the most important friendships, not only for me, but for my family as well. As Linda and I had more contact, I discovered many things about her. That her son, Michael, was the longest surviving pediatric heart transplant recipient, having received a heart when he was 1 year old. That he was receiving chemotherapy for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma that he had contracted as a result of a routine biopsy where he had received a blood transfusion. That she had a husband back in New Jersey whom she missed terribly, and that she continued to feel conflicted over her prolonged absence from her two older sons. For 7 months, I saw Linda and Mike every week at church, park visits, and relief duty at Stanford Children's Hospital so she could have some time to herself to relax, refresh, and rejuvenate before she was back by Michael's side. She kept hinting that she had something to tell me, but just couldn't bring herself to share it as yet. She finally did, just days before she was heading back to New Jersey after Michael's successful chemo regimen. Her secret was this. Just 2 weeks before our encounter at the Ronald McDonald House, she had been on the phone with her husband, sobbing that she couldn't handle the stress of being so far away from relatives and friends and pleading with him to agree that she could come home. Caught in the dilemma of needing to stay because of Michael's rare situation, a transplant patient receiving chemotherapy, she and her husband together prayed that God would send her just one friend, that all she wanted was one friend who could be there for her. They committed to trust God for his provision. When I showed up that day with my declaration, "God wants me to talk with you," she welcomed me, having it confirmed that the Lord indeed had heard and responded to her prayer. After their return to New Jersey, Linda and I continued to share each other's lives from a distance, always connecting up when she and Michael came to Stanford for checkups. Through happy and sad times, we've been available to each other for mutual prayer and guidance. Together, we have cried over children who thought that they could live life better apart from their families, only to rejoice with each other when the prodigals returned. In fact, in January of 2003, Michael was one of the groomsmen at my son Anthony's wedding. We marveled how much they had both changed, Michael now in his teens, and my son about to become a husband. But among the most treasured memories occurred in March of 2004, when Linda gave me the distinct honor of being among the last people to talk to Michael just moments before the Lord took him home to heaven. Apparently, all the chemotherapy and anti-rejection drugs had taken a toll on his body, and Michael had gone into kidney failure. She called me on the phone from the hospital room in Philadelphia and said, "Andrea, my son is about to go to glory, which will be with his Savior. Since you have been such an important part of his and our lives, I wanted to give you a chance to speak to Mike before he goes." Amazingly, I didn't struggle with what to say. My words to him came from a song, "Do Not Fear, for You Are Mine," based on the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, which our homeschool choir, the Corumdale Chorus, had been practicing for an upcoming performance. These are the words, which seem so incredibly appropriate. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, they will not be burned. When you walk through the flames, they will not consume you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not fear, I have redeemed you. Do not fear, for I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you walk through the shadows, I will be with you. When you walk in the darkness, I will bring the light of day. When you fall to your knees, I will lift you up. When you feel all alone, I'll be there to love you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not fear, I have redeemed you. Do not fear, for I have called you by name, and you are mine." How much Michael understood in this close-to-dying state, I guess I'll have to wait until Mike and I meet up again in heaven. But Linda did share with me that within a half an hour of our conversation, my young 16-year-old friend had gone to his reward. When we went to the celebration of life service that was held for Mike, I was able to share with a gathering of almost 500 people that young Michael Satilli embraced his role as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Michael came to consider all his ailments, of which he had many, a blessing because he could share the love and comfort of his best friend, Jesus, with others who suffered. In looking back, the credit for this courageous friendship goes to our Lord, who in his word instructed Linda to cast her cares upon him, trusting that he would care for her, and to pray without ceasing, letting her request be made known to him. Similarly, through his word and spirit, he taught me that if I loved him, I would do what he said. In a very real sense, both Linda and my stepping out in faith produced something neither one of us could ever have imagined. For quite some time, Linda had a rough go of it, adjusting to Michael being gone and having more time on her hands than she had in 16 years. She and her husband have since begun a ministry called Michael's Ministry, which places New Testaments at Ronald McDonald houses, doctors' offices, and Christian businesses to encourage people to find hope in the midst of their struggles. I brought a number of copies with me today to share with you afterwards. has a picture of Michael and his testimony in the back. Linda shared with me once an insight of hers that reinforced the idea that God's ways are not our ways. She said, "When I think back on the specific prayer I prayed in 1995 for a friend, I realized that God gave me much more than I asked for. What I asked for was meager compared to his showering me with the gift of friendship that has sustained for all these years. How glad I am that his vision was larger than mine." Linda and I were introduced by a mutual friend, a friend who not only considered Linda's needs, but had mine in mind as well. One who, in befriending us, also commands us to follow his lead in reaching out to others, forgiving them their trespasses, helping them before we are asked, and receiving the help he has provided through others of his body. But there is much more to this wonderful reality. Not only does the Lord call us his friends, but he invites us into his family, offering us eternal life forever if only we believe in him, do what he commands, and receive the new life he offers as we turn from our sins. Thank you.
Thank you. That was a wonderful message. I'd like Dorothy to come up and sing for us.
You are my friend. Oh, if you are my friend.
Thank you, Darcy. I just want to make sure everybody got a favor. We have some here. And again, didn't we all think they were gorgeous? Once again, thank you, Deborah. I'm going to do a drawing for the centerpieces, some of the centerpieces. So we'll do that next, and then we'll be closing in prayer. Oh, also, Ann Pareto has some beautiful aprons that she's been working on. If anybody wants to purchase them, she's got them in the back. Okay, thank you very much, ladies, for joining us. And Darlene is going to come up. She, if you don't know, she had her 50th birthday this weekend. Does she not look great for 50?
Shall we pray together? Father, I just am so thankful that we could gather here today together before you and rejoice in the gifts that you have given us. Thank you for mothers. Thank you for the privilege of being a mother. Thank you for our daughters. Thank you for our grandmothers. And Lord, your gifts are great. And you who created mothers have the mother's heart, Lord. And we're just thankful for your love and mercy and grace to us. Bless us now, Lord, as we go forth. And help us to be a kind of friends, mothers, that glorify your name, so that in eternity we will rejoice before you in the greatness of your mighty love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Also, if you haven't taken your pictures, please go over where the little picture section was so we can have those. And then I'll give you a copy later on. We'll send you one. Okay? All right. Thank you, ladies, again. Thank you.